At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are back at as we roll on through a Graybar Sports Open Line. We only have about a half hour left in the show, and then we are going to get into our coverage of Cardinals baseball. It's game two of a three-game series tonight. Cardinals and the Angels from Anaheim. Right now, we are efforting Dax McCarty. He is part of the team at Apple TV. He's going to be on the call as CitySC. They are back at it coming up tomorrow. Kind of a weird schedule as they come out of the World Cup break. They played against Kansas City midweek last week, and now they've got another midweek game coming up tomorrow, and then they'll get back into a little bit of a more normal schedule. But they're playing a bunch of games in a short amount of time. Again, they are going to take on the LA Galaxy. 9:30 start tomorrow night. It's going to be on our sister station, Y98, so you'll be able to listen in right there. And then you'll be able to watch the game on Apple TV. Apple TV, of course, they've got coverage of every single MLS game. They do a fantastic job with that. And with that, we're very happy to be able to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line right now and welcome in from Apple TV, Dax McCarty. Follow him on social media, on Twitter, at DaxMcCarty11. Dax, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing all right. The win last week for City against Kansas City, they had the lead, they let it go, and then they're able to take advantage of a foul that was called after video review, and they get the penalty shot to go. What can that do for a team coming off a long break like it was for the World Cup to maybe propel them into some momentum and some success here in the second half of the season?
Yeah, just confidence. It's all about confidence with St. Louis City. I really like what Yoan Domecq is building in St. Louis. And, you know, the first half of the season, they played really pretty soccer. They played from the back. They played a possession-type style. And it was really effective in certain moments in different games. And I still think that the biggest issue for St. Louis City is just that out-and-out goal scorer, that striker who's just going to put away chance after chance for them. Sporting Kansas City is a team that's going through a big rebuild right now. And so, look, I think it was expected for St. Louis City to win that game at home against one of the worst teams in the league. But still, that gives you confidence. When you can step on the field, you can score three goals, and you can get 3 points in front of your home fans after, you know, whatever it was, a six-week break. That's going to propel them in a really nice way for the second half of the season. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot, right? I mean, it's not as if it's this achievement or goal that's so far out of their sights. I mean, they are right in the thick of the playoff race, and I think if they make the right additions kind of towards the second half of the season, and I think Edu Luvin coming back is a huge boon and a huge boost for them. This is a team. If I'm looking at the Western Conference, I absolutely do not want to play against St. Louis City.
The report, and it just came out this morning, so I don't know how much you really know about at this point, but Carlo Holsa reportedly is being signed as a designated player. He is an attacker, comes over from the Turkish League, had 8 goals and 4 assists in 31 games last season in the Turkish League. Is that the profile of player that you're talking about that may be the right addition, or is it something even more than that?
I think it depends. I mean, if he's a striker in the Turkish league, 8 goals in 30 odd games, it's okay. It doesn't really jump off the page as being extremely exciting. You said, did they pay what, $6-7 million for him?
$6 million. Yeah, that's the number that's being reported.
God, look, I always feel like it's unfair to judge a player before I've even seen him play. Sure. And so I've had a lot on my plate with World Cup coverage. And so I haven't seen that report, and I trust you and I trust the reporting on it. Now, when they say it's an attacker, that leads me to believe that maybe he's flexible. He can play in a few different positions along the front line. I just, you know, I look at St. Louis City, I look at their ownership group, and I look how committed they are, and I think to myself, man, if I see a striker like Hugo Kuipers from the Chicago yeah. Fire, who's on the market, and if I see Robert Lewandowski come into Chicago, and the second I hear about Kuipers being available, I'm making a phone call. And then to find out you only have to pay $7.5 million to get one of the best goal scorers in Major League Soccer right now, a guy who is on fire in the first half of the season, a guy who has a tremendous work rate, a guy that's going to bang in goals, and a guy who is already familiar with the league. Well, then, you know, I would have to say that Kuipers would have been a perfect fit in St. Louis. But again, I don't want to be unfair to the new player that they have brought in, and specifically with regard to the fact that I haven't seen him play. And so I don't know if he is the missing piece that they need, but certainly when you spend $6 million on a player and it's a designated player, they are going to be expected to come in and produce. And so I absolutely think there are positions along that front line that can be upgraded. And if he comes in and does a great job and kind of gives St. Louis City the boost that I think everyone is expecting, well, then look, again, I doubled down on my statement that I do not want to see this St. Louis City team as we get into playoff time. I think they can be very, very dangerous.
When you talk about the team in the first half of the season playing some really good soccer at times, is it about the personnel that makes it more than at times, and that's just who they are, or is it something deeper than that?
No, I don't think it's anything deeper than that. I genuinely believe it is strictly about personnel. And so I have, I have a fond appreciation for what Yoan Domecq is trying to build. I think that it is very, look, he's a Wilfred Nancy disciple, right? He wants to play on the front foot, high pressing, counter pressing, possession oriented, back to front type soccer. And I love that. I love that. I love watching St. Louis City play this year. But then when I watched them play at the beginning of the season, it left me wanting more. They got into great positions in almost every game they played in. They were relatively competitive in almost every game played in. But for all the positive qualities that a guy like Simon Becher brings to the table, he let a lot of chances go begging. And St. Louis City as a whole was a little bit wasteful in front of the goal. And so that's why I go back to the goal scorer, to the striker. If you get a striker who is going to be able to consistently put goals in the back of the net when you are creating a high volume of chances, I really believe that this St. Louis City team can make some noise in the second half of the season.
These games are coming fast and furious out of the World Cup break, three games in about a week and a half. How tough is it to have your fitness level where you want it to be when you go through a month plus of not playing a game?
Yeah, I think it's a blessing and a curse. I think it kind of depends. If you were in good form going into the World Cup break, it's unfortunate. You want to keep that, you want to ride that wave of momentum. You don't want it to stop. And then if you're a team that's kind of in bad form and you have some injuries, well, then the break comes at a great time. So I think for St. Louis City, it's just more time for Yoan Domecq to continue to hammer home the principles of his playing style. And because I do believe that type of playing style is very complex, it's not an easy playing style to play, specifically with regard to the different movements in midfield with your wingbacks, with your, you know, dual number 10s, if you will, that really, I think, fluid 3-4-3 formation. I mean, there is a lot of room for improvement. And I know Yoan Domecq, he expects that team to continue to get better. So I think it came at a good time for St. Louis City. I don't think they were in bad form, but certainly in terms of getting some important players back healthy. I think the biggest, I don't even know if you want to call it, it's not a new signing, obviously, but I think one of the biggest boosts is if you can keep Edu Leuven on the field, mm-hmm. healthy, 90 minutes with a clear conscience and a clear mind, specifically with just all the heartbreak that he has been through and that St. Louis City as a team went through for him in the first half of the season. I'm in awe of him as a player. I played central midfield, obviously, during my playing career, and he's the type of player that when I watch him play, he is a game changer in every sense of the word. I just think he is a phenomenal player. I think that if you want to have a team that dictates the rhythm and the tempo of the game, if you want to have a guy who's super comfortable in possession but who can also score goals and step up in big moments, I think getting Leuven back could potentially be one of the biggest boosts that any team gets in the season. And I know he played a little bit, obviously, in the first half of the season, but I just think that 6-week break will do wonders for his fitness level, and just getting him 90 minutes fit and keeping him on the field is going to be a huge, huge opportunity for St. Louis City to make a run.
It is City and LA Galaxy coming up tomorrow. You can catch all the action of every MLS game on Apple TV. No more double paywall like it's been in previous years. If you've got Apple TV, you're able to access the games. And I'll finish you with this. I have to think that everybody at Apple TV, everybody connected with MLS right now, really feels a lot of soccer momentum in this country coming off the World Cup.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. I think there's just such positive momentum going forward with how the World Cup went. Obviously, with the U.S. men's national team, the first four games they played, I mean, it was like must-see TV. They were excellent. And then, obviously, against Belgium, they fall a little bit flat. It's very frustrating the way that it ended for them. But if you just look at the TV numbers, look at the support that they got on the West Coast, in L.A., in San Francisco, in Seattle, it was phenomenal. And so I think that Major League Soccer is primed to kind of, I think, benefit from the buzz that the World Cup created. It was a fantastic tournament, record-setting tournament in every sense of the word. Attendance, TV viewership, all of it was just spectacular. I was blessed and honored to be able to cover it. And so I think that every fan should be extremely excited about MLS coming back and being able to put on a show for the second half of the season and kind of really build off that momentum that it built.
Dax McCarty is an analyst with Apple TV, the home of MLS soccer. Dax, thank you so much for taking the time, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Dax McCarty joining us here on the program. City SC in action tomorrow night when they match up against the LA Galaxy. 9:30 is the start time. You can also hear it on our sister station, Y98. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. We're back into Cardinal baseball. That's all we'll talk about between now and the end of the program, leading you into the Cardinals and the Angels tonight. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Only have about 15 minutes left in the program. We'll get out of here for Cardinals baseball a little bit early. Cardinals are in action tonight as they take on the Angels in Anaheim. Game 2 of a 3-game series. You'd really like to see them win this game tonight, possibly win tomorrow. Then at that point, you take a series from the Angels. You finish 500 on the road trip. For all the negative stuff that has happened here over the last couple days, you lament the fact that maybe it's not a winning road trip in that scenario, but you appreciate the fact that they're able to finish 500. But for that to happen, they have to win 2 games in a row. They got to score some runs. They got to continue to to do some things from a pitching standpoint, like what you saw yesterday from Kyle Leahy. Big night tonight for Matthew Liberatore, so a lot going on. What we like to do on these Tuesdays, we kind of intersperse different comments made by Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We are lucky enough to get Ollie for a full 30-35 minutes during the Gas House Gang every single Tuesday. And he talks through a lot of different things. So let's talk about what just happened over the last 2 days. An absolutely terrible loss where you were up 7-0 and then a bunch of things happened where you just don't play well. There's mistakes in the field. There's mistakes on the bases. The approach at the plate seemed to change. Like, there was just a bunch of stuff that went poorly. And then you back that up with a game yesterday where your closer, who's been pretty good, especially in save situations, comes on and he just didn't have it. Riley O'Brien simply did not have it yesterday. So that kind of presents two things. The mental place for this team. And then also, and this is somewhat connected, so I want to play both these things back to back, what losses like that do to a club? So let's start with the mental place. Has the team been impacted by what's happened here over the last day or so?
No, not even a little bit. Actually, it's probably in the best spot all year, if I'm being quite honest with you, from a morale clubhouse just attention to detail standpoint, which are the things that you kind of pay attention to. My question would be, what's the strength of schedule during that period you're talking about compared to the rest of the league?
I'd have to look at it. I don't know it off the top of my head. You've played some good clubs, but the irony is you've done, other than Milwaukee, you've actually done really well against good clubs.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The guys are actually doing a nice job, and you're going to have stretches that don't go your way. You're going to have stretches that do, and part of mental toughness is being able to actually get through those times. You talk about building character and building a culture that could withstand the ups and downs of a season. Well, you don't get to actually practice that until you go through it. So this is part of the gig, man.
So there he is talking about that. Leads right into this, because you can't practice trying to deal with the downs of a roller coaster season until you do have some of those downs. So do two losses like they've suffered over the last 2 days, do they beat down a club, and how do you make sure that they don't beat you down?
It can. If you have a mentally weak team, then it could definitely derail you. It can get people in a little bit of a sideways mood, and they come in kind of doubting themselves a little bit. But this group has done the complete opposite of that. And even that one in Arizona, more so than yesterday. Yesterday, man, that Riley's been good. That stinks for him, because he'll wear that one in it. I mean, just his personality and the way he goes about it, and where you have a 7-0 lead. And you want believers and be fresh going into this series, and you're unable to do that. And the guys took that one really well. Trust me, they were pissed. They're in the clubhouse, and they were mad about it. They're already talking about the ins and outs of some of the things they could have done different. So you speak into that briefly and make sure that they're in the right mindset to move on. But that's part of creating a mentally tough team. Like, You sitting here, how many comeback wins have we had? How many walk-off wins have we had? Like, are we supposed to win those? No, there's plenty of those that we should have lost, but we still found a way to win. So there's going to be the other side of it, where there's games you should win, and every team experiences it, where you're sitting in your office afterwards, like, damn, we should have won that one. Of 162. Like, I'm not going to downplay it, but at the same time, like, you have to be emotionally disciplined if you're going to do this job, and if you're going to be a big league player. And that means not giving in to some of the outside noise of just two tough losses.
I do think it is important to separate the last two losses. Yesterday, they both stunk. Don't get me wrong, that you can make the argument they should have won both of them. Yesterday was a closer who didn't have it in the ninth inning, and you lost a game that was close going to the ninth. It was a one-run game, whereas Sunday was you blowing a 7-run lead. That is very different. In his post game on Sunday, he specifically mentioned the group coming together after the game and how some things happened before the media even came in. So he spent a little bit more time talking about what the reaction from his club was after that Sunday loss.
What I loved about that one, I held off media coming into the clubhouse as quickly as they normally do. because there's pockets of guys already talking about certain plays and what they would have done different, and some of the sequencing from a pitching standpoint. So I kind of sat back and watched some of the conversations, and then I just spoke into the group really quickly as far as how we move from this point on. And unless you're in the clubhouse every day, it's really tough to put into words, but I love this group for that reason. Because yes, we'll be able to plow through some stuff that we probably shouldn't have this year, but what it's setting up for the following years, it's what's exciting. Because if they can take this mentality, take these two losses, I that's bunch them into the entire season. But if you can take this and continue to build off of it from a culture standpoint, mental toughness standpoint, supporting each other standpoint, like I won't go into the individual stories of what we've been able to witness this year with that compared to previous years, but it's in a really good spot. So yeah, you lose two, they're tough. Trust me, I'm as mad as anybody, because you want to win those and go down this stretch and have a really good one, but it's going to happen. And what you do emotionally and how you speak into the group and how you attack the very next day, whether it goes well or not, is extremely important.
Well, they have another day today to attack after two really tough losses. And it's just human to sit here and say, what could have been? Where would this team be at right now if they could have won each of those last two games? They would be solidly in that final playoff spot. And there's a lot of baseball left to be played. I keep saying it over and over. I do think they're going to continue to be in contention for a playoff spot. I can't make a prediction on if they're going to end up there or not, but they have to respond and they have to react. And the type of 48 hours they just had, that cannot repeat. If that repeats many times, well, then all of a sudden the narrative about this team, it becomes very different, and it becomes very different very quickly. We'll take one more break. We'll return. We'll preview a little bit more of what's going to be going on tonight between the Cardinals and the Angels. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
All right, just another minute or so left here in this Graybar Sports Open Line, and then we got Cardinals baseball, Cardinals Angels tonight. Matthew Liberatore on the mound, 5-6 ERA at 5. He's been better lately. In fact, Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, talking on the Gas House Gang earlier today, said just that.
Yeah, we're seeing his usage is different. We're seeing him attack batters differently, getting back in accounts differently. So a lot of it has been that, and he's had more success because of it, less predictable, which has helped him quite a bit, which seems obvious, but you can fall into patterns and kind of get exposed that way. He's done a much better job of just using his mix appropriately in order to not fall into those things. And I've liked what we've seen as of late.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. I think that is a really big deal when it comes to usage and patterns and the way he has gone about things. We've seen Ivan Herrera catch him a little bit more. And since Herrera started catching him, it just seems like that part, the way he's been able to mix his pitches and the way he uses them has been that much better. I don't know how much that does impact things, but it feels like it's impacted things a bit. Herrera, by the way, is catching tonight. We've got the Cardinals and the Angels, and it's up next right here on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.